just makes me want to do the chicken dance right there. I can see your head going, right? Bobbing
it's
like a chicken.
It's a brick house, buddy.
Right? Yeah, I understand.
The brick house is going to go with brick chicken.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we are going to talk a little brick house. And in your brick house, there might be a brick chicken. So what are you thinking, Barbecue Bob?
It's a brick chicken.
Right.
So brick chicken, I think, is an Italian method. But basically, there's several different variations I've heard over the years. I've never done this. I guess I'll have to one of these days because we've talked about it a few times, had people on the show talking about it. Some of the people actually say to wrap your chicken in foil and then heat it up.
No, the brick, not the chicken.
I'm sorry. You're wrap the brick.
Leave the chicken with no foil on it.
I'm sure the old Paisanos just threw a brick on it.
Right.
Right? Because there was no aluminum foil in Paisano land way back when. Until Reynolds wrap came
out. So what's the concept here is you've got a brick, which is a heavier stone item. It'll once you heat it up, it holds heat for a while, right? And so you're cooking from above and below?
You're kind of compressing the meat.
Okay.
And you're not necessarily squeezing the meat, the juice out of it. I think if you put the brick on after it was mostly cooked, you would squeeze the juices out of it. But since you're compressing it while you're cooking it, I think it just basically has a different reaction to how the juices flow throughout the muscle while you cook it because it doesn't dry it out. So I don't understand necessarily the benefit. I just know that a lot of people like to do it. It gives you a cool presentation. It's roadkill.
Right.
Basically, your chicken is roadkill.
So
you'd spatchcock it.
Okay.
And you'd put a couple of these. You'd wrap a couple bricks in foil, set them on top of it. Now the method I'm going to post is going to say to place the chicken skin down first.
So you are flipping it halfway through a cook.
You are. Yeah.
Okay. Take the bricks off, flip it over, put them back on.
But I'm not so sure that since I haven't done it that way, this is what I've read on somebody else's site. I would probably and always do cook my chicken with the meat side down first because I'm going to heavily oil it. But I want that fat from the skin to be up on top, running through the meat while it's cooking, and then I'm going to flip it over when I absolutely have to get that cooked muscle up in the air. I'm going to get the skin down, but I've already reduced a bunch of the fat, so I'm
in the skin. It works
well for me.
Some people like to eat the skin.
Right.
Some will take it off. But if you do like to eat it, it's better a little crunchy
than
rubbery. So you finish it with the skin down, and it'll crisp it up.
And don't you know, medical experts are now saying chicken skin is good for you.
Right. Yeah.
So stick around. It'll be bad for you again.
Right. So you mentioned the spatchcock real quick. Martin Earl there from Thermopen in the last segment talked about that as well. If you've not done this, it's a technique of flattening out the chicken, right? Well, you're taking a pair of kitchen shears. Don't do it with a knife so much, but shears work really well.
Shears work better. So put it breast down so the back is up, and just take those poultry shears and go up each side of the spine and just cut that spine right out, and it'll flop open. When it does flop open, take your fillet knife out and slide it down the rib cage, and you'll literally cut most of those ribs right out. And then you have a really workable piece of meat with no sharp objects.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you're going to, so then you picture that. There's skin on one side. It's the internal part of the chicken on the other. Take that internal part with no skin. That's the side down first.
I'm going to put a bunch of oil on it.
Right.
And I'm going to season it, and then I'm going to lather it up, and I'm going to put that seasoning and oil on the skin. On the skin, actually, you probably don't even have to oil it after you season it, because there's a lot of fat in it. But I'm going to cook that muscle side first, and then when that's at the point where I absolutely have to flip it because of color, I'm going to flip that over, and at that point, half the fat's off of that skin already, and it's run through the muscle. So by the time I flip that skin down, I'm not going to have a major flare-up or have a ton of fat running into the fire. I've already used a bunch of it in the process of the meat.
Right. And
the muscle.
The fat in the fire will cause flare-ups.
Yeah.
Right? Depending on the grill that you have.
Fat fire flare.
Right. But it's flavor. But it's flavor. So you want that to happen. But just watch that, because if you burn the skin, then that's not going to be appetizing to the people that like to have that.
You right. know?
So just one of those things to watch. Once again, temperature's key, man.
Yeah.
You're going to flip this thing over. And if you heard Chef Martin Earle there from ThermoWorks talk about it, he's only bringing his chicken up to about 157 degrees.
Right.
Because 165 is edible. And he's like most proteins that come off the grill, they're going to finish after you remove them off.
But I would slightly disagree on the bone-in breast. You have a little more forgiveness on the bone-in. So I'm still going to take a bone-in to 165 because I don't want to see red in a breast meat.
When you debone it.
No. Nope.
Right.
Nope. When my guests are eating it, I don't want to see them cut into it and look at each other and go,
right.
Oh, my gosh. We've all been there.
Oh, sure.
And
we've
it
done
freaks,
it because,
freaks me out.
Yeah.
I went to a Thanksgiving, and the breast meat was pink.
Right.
And we just, like, freaked out.
Right.
So this next method I'll do real quick. It's called a lollipop. And Rob Russell and I used to do this when we traveled around the country doing our fancy grilling class. But you just basically take when you cut your wings up into three pieces, you throw the tips away or save them for broth. But you take those other pieces and you take a paper towel and you grab a hold of the knuckle of the bone, and then you pull that meat down to the other end. And as you do it, it literally turns inside out, and your muscles on the outside, your skin's on the inside. Then you oil that up and you grill it just like that, or deep fried or whatever you want to do. But it looks like a Tootsie Pop when you're done.
Right.
And it's just a wonderful, fun, cool little way. We've actually even wrapped those before. But
are you talking about the flat or the
both?
Both pieces. Because
yep.
the wings in three pieces,
yep.
right? You got the shoulder piece, right? The meatier one.
Yep.
Then you got the flat and the tip. You take the tips off. Nobody eats those. But those two pieces, you're doing the same thing. You're grabbing on one end and pulling the meat to the other to kind of ball it up, right? Like
yeah.
a lollipop.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can eat it like a lollipop even if you're a real man.
Right. So it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law. Man shall allow one empty urinal of separation in a bathroom with three or more urinals. Law is void if there are dividers between each urinal.
That's right. Or if you're at a concert and you're waiting in line and you don't want to go every other one.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
So teriyaki chicken is widely misunderstood. Now, if you want to cheat, you can just buy a teriyaki marinade, Kikkoman, and several people make them, Lowry's. But the authentic teriyaki is soy sauce, sake, and mirin. And that's another Japanese liqueur or liquor. And those three things and about a half a part sugar. So you use one part soy, one part sake, one part mirin, and a half part sugar. And that is the quintessential. If you go to Japan, and I've been there, I love the country. It's a fun culture and people and food, and they're fanatical about a lot of things. And I'll tell you what, they have some great marinades and sauces that they use on a lot of their foods. But teriyaki is the one that's probably destroyed the most by a lot of people.
Yeah.
They just think you put a bunch of soy sauce with some sugar on something. You have to have the sake and the mirin.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
So when you're doing that, do you use your teriyaki to marinate with, or do you use it as a basting sauce?
Yes.
Okay, because it can be either.
Cut it in half.
Right.
So take half of it and save it out for basting, or a third of it, and use the two-thirds for your
right.
marinade.
Right. So the tip there is if you're putting marinade on raw chicken, don't ever use it as your basting sauce once
right.
you pull the chicken out.
Right.
It's been in contact with the raw meat. There'll be bacteria in there. Raw meat has bacteria on it.
You'll be pooping.
Right. You do not want to use that as your glazing sauce. But you can certainly use the same marinade flavor as your basting sauce and your marinade. Just reserve some of it aside that wasn't in the marinating bag and then use that as your basting sauce.
That is correct, sir.
Yes, because it'll enhance the flavor. You know, the meat only absorbs so much of the marinade, and then maybe finishing it, you get a little fresher, brighter taste of the marinade when you do that. But
I always save a little bit just to put in the pan, too, to drizzle over it to keep it moist while it's holding.
Right, yep, yeah, cool. Coming up next, classic barbecue chicken. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Sometimes your heart's pounding out of your chest. Sometimes it's just beating. Some days you just forget what all you've been given. Some days you just get by. Some days you're just a